Hello, and welcome to Dice Masters United. I'm Spug.
I'm Ben.
I'm James.
And I'm Peter.
Coming up in this episode...
Ben replaces Spug for the intro due to Spug's gross incompetence.
Will we finally get some good Infinity Gauntlet cards with those prestigious yellow stripes?
And we give you all the details about last Saturday's Dice Fight XL.
All that and more in the latest episode of DM United.
Okay, well, we are just over halfway through our epic journey through a review of every single card in the new Infinity Gauntlet section and in the Infinity Gauntlet expansion, I should say. And now we're getting to the really exciting moments because we're getting on to the rares and there are some beauts in this one. So we're all looking forward to this. And we might as well just get straight onto it. So let's start with Adam Warlock. He's first on the list again and he's a 5-cost mask. He has the Infinity Watch affiliation, and he says, when Adam Warlock is KO'd by combat damage, move target character die to his card. When fielded, return all character dice on this card to the field zone at the same level. Now, this is kind of interesting because it's almost the same as the one of the Adam Warlocks from the Guardians of the Galaxy expansion, whereby... But the difference was there is that it was the card had to only damage Adam Warlock in order to be sent to the card, if I recall correctly. Whereas
The difference is, so the difference is that this only does target character, whereas Adam Warlock, the previous version, did all characters.
That damaged him. So, but the thing with this one, you can move something that didn't damage him. So that's cool.
Yeah, you could move something that didn't damage him, but he has to be KO'd by combat damage himself in order for you to do that. So I think it's kind of tricky to engineer because he's got 5, 5, and 6 defense on his levels 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
And seeing that he costs 5, I don't think he's going to see a great deal of use, if I'm honest. Would anybody disagree with me?
There's a bit of jank to be had.
The other Adam Warlock did see some play. This doesn't have quite the same take everything that the other one did, right? The other one had a bit more oomph.
Yeah, I think for the threat of losing your entire field.
I mean, I think the previous one, you could do some kind of... There was some kind of combo, wasn't there, that got something like Madame Web to who you could force to block everything, and then you could switch it in, yeah.
You could probably do something similar. I mean, this is just... easy enough to force block with, like, if they have a God Catcher or something, just force block with Adam Warlock, attack with Adam Warlock, then you can, suppose, technically move that God Catcher to his die, which would then make it to his card, which would make it disappear.
Easier ways of getting rid of God Catchers.
I reckon. Okay, Peter, do you want to tell us about Angela?
Yes, Angela as Guardian of the Galaxy, the 4-cost Bolt. With the Guardian's affiliation, and she has, while Angela is active, your character dice gain infiltrate. It's a nice throwback to the previous Angelas that also did stuff with infiltrate. It's a pretty powerful ability, I'd say, because all of your character dice will gain infiltrate. So if you have a pretty wide field, you can just keep attacking and pulling stuff back and get some chip damage in. Could add up very fast.
Of course, wide fields are very popular these days.
That is true.
I detect a slight note of sarcasm in your voice there, James.
Nah, it's going to be good, though. I think this card's going to be, especially in draft, to get this in your first pack, this should be a first choice.
Oh, it's amazing
choice.
Yeah. Draft.
And it's pretty strong.
Is it better than the other one? I would have thought not.
What, the, it's good. The one that cancels the when fielded?
Super rare, the info, the dice with infiltrator are unblockable.
Oh, that one. No.
No.
It's not better. But it's good.
Is it better than the uncommon? Which is
no,
no. Okay, just right.
It's a win.
It's a win condition. It's a very different.
Yeah, it's
card.
Cool. Yeah,
yeah,
it's cool.
But I think it's good. I mean, if you pair it with something that, like, what is it, the Black Viper or something from one of the recent D&D things that means all your infiltrate is doubled.
Mm. Yeah, there's ways of doing that.
Makes it two rather than one. That would be pretty cool.
Yeah, I think infiltrate in general just hasn't been a fast enough ability without the cosmic cube previously.
Yeah,
which increased it from 1 damage to 3 damage per infiltrate. But it's a fun ability. People will try and play with it when it'll be competitive enough for high level. I don't think so, but
yeah. I think you're probably right. Okay, Ben, well, why don't you pick up with Black Dwarf? I know you've liked both of the Black Dwarfs, don't you, I think, so far. Do you like this one?
Yeah. Giant Axe, 5-cost fist, Black Order. When fielded, target non-Black Dwarf character die, gets +2 attack, and gains Overcrush. And it also has a global. You pay 0 once per turn on your turn, spin any of your psychic die in the field or reserve pool to its fist face. So, great global, first off. Do we have any of the other energy fixes? I don't think there are
there? No,
don't this is just a fist energy fixer.
Yeah, which is interesting.
To go along with the Intellect Devourer that we have. So I think that alone is going to make it an auto include on some people's team. People love that global.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then this actual ability itself is pretty great as well.
It is.
Another one fielded, and it has great fielding cost, 0/1/0.
Yeah.
It has great stats because it's really repeatable because it has really low defense. And then +2 attack and overcrush. It's a shame it can't give it to itself.
Mm.
And it's probably a little bit expensive for 5. But yeah. I think this is similar to the Gorilla Grodd, which had the the psychic fixing global of the same kind. It was kind of a bit expensive, that Gorilla Grodd.
Yeah.
But people still bought it and people still bought it, played it.
Yeah.
People still brought it and bought it. on occasion, and I think people will, if they have 5 fists or 5 energy and a fist, they'll buy this just because they can.
Yeah, and you can get another. So you can get another fist using his global.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not brilliant, but it's pretty good.
Is it the same as the Proxima Midnight uncommon? It is, isn't it? Target non-Proxima Midnight. So, whatever it is, character gets +2 attack and gains overcrush.
Yeah, I think the Black Dwarfs and Proxima have been the same but different rarities, and Black Dwarfs are more expensive.
Yeah, that's right. The two of them pair up, don't they?
Yeah. I think there's some really nice kind of Black Order synergy going on though with the, you know, with that. And is it Corvus Glaive or is it Proxima Midnight that gives the other one that also gives a cost reduction to stuff that you buy?
That's also Proxima Midnight. Common Proxima and the uncommon Black Dwarf have the same thing. And then the uncommon Proxima and the rare Black Dwarf have this that we're talking about now.
But yeah, I think the global is what makes this die probably a must own.
Totally. And, you know, if you can give a God Catcher +2 attack and overcrash, that's going to be pretty
not
interesting.
Bad
either. Yeah. there's a nice continuation of Jarnbjorn with the fist global through Giant Axe with the fist global.
That's cool as well. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, no, so Black Dwarf is a winner all round, it seems so far, I think. James, tell us about Black Panther.
I have completely lost the text because I was looking at Proxima Midnight.
I'll read it to you and then you can tell me what you think.
Go on,
Black Panther, Might of Wakanda, who's a 5-cost fist, the Avengers affiliation. And the text says, when fielded, your opponent must pay 1 generic energy or 1 life for each blocker they declare this turn.
And it's a 5-cost as usual, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's pretty good. It's like, that makes for some interesting choices. I don't think it's going to win too much for 5. It's that 5 threshold again. I don't see it getting much competitive play, but it's in draft. Yep. It's all right.
It's the same as a Harpy Lady Sister, isn't it?
Blimey, that's going back.
That's going back, exactly.
And a similar text to that, I think. Or the Lantern Battery, right?
When you had to pay life to block. Yeah.
They were good, not great. I think this is good, not great.
Not good, not terrible.
No. Okay,
like all Black Panthers, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
It's better than it is.
Yeah, they kind of promise a lot when you see those stats, but then they don't always deliver. Peter, Black Swan.
I am not going to pronounce the title because I have no idea what it's supposed to be.
it looks like a load of backwards words to me.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. So it's a 5-cost bolt with the Black Order affiliation, and when one or more of your Black Swan character dies attack, you may reroll any of your active character dice, and it has a double burst that says you may also reroll any of your active character dice when one or more of your Black Swan character dice block. I don't know how I feel about this. It's an interesting ability for sure, but I don't know how it's going to be super useful most of the time.
Is it? Do you think it's intended for triggering Energize?
You'd have thought.
Possibly, yes. That would be the main use, I suppose. But it's still very risky.
We were complaining about how to get Adam out of the field the other day.
Yeah.
Yeah, the few energized characters with actually big stats. I mean, stats in general are going up, right?
Yeah, they are.
So it's good to have an option to reroll them that isn't parallax or something parallaxy brokenness. This is kind of cool. You're not paying 5 for it.
We do have something else coming up that would also allow something like this.
Yeah. There's no way anyone's paying 5 to do this.
No,
that's probably true. That's probably true.
It's fun. It's like one of those things that one of the more creative people out there is going to try and build something with, and then it's going to work one time, and then everyone's going to be like, wow,
that's amazing.
More people are going to try it and realize just it's incapable of working regularly.
That's probably
but
true.
It's fun. I'm glad that they're doing abilities like this, which are kind of outside of the box kind of thinking.
Yeah, no, it's good. Okay, Ben, we've got Black Widow up next.
The Widow's Hunt. Two cost mask with the Infinity Watch symbol. It has Energize. Spin target opposing character die down one level. If that character die is already at level 1, spin it to an energy face of your choice. So this is a pretty fantastic ability. Yeah. We already covered this in a YouTube video that we did, didn't we, James?
Yes.
Don't forget to like and subscribe.
So this is a really cool, cheap removal tool.
Yeah.
It's not the best removal tool of all time because it's a bit wonky. Energize is hard to trigger regularly, so far anyway. But it's fun, cheap, statted, difficult to get out of the field, I suppose. So maybe that Black Swan can come in useful with the Black Widow.
Yeah.
But just buy a bunch of these for some masks if you want some masks on your team. I think this is just one of those dice which... Yeah, if you want some cheap masks, this is just a great die to throw on teams.
It's nice to see the spinning down taken to its logical conclusion for the first time, because you've been able to pay something to spin something down before, but they've never made that step of spinning down from level 1 to an energy.
Actually, I think there's an AVX beast where when it blocked, you spun blocked character died down a level, and if it was at level 1, you spun it to an energy face.
Oh, okay.
But not since AVX.
Wow. Well, it is kind of reminiscent of the Tsarina Black Widow, isn't it, from AVX, who obviously had that spinning down mechanism, albeit, you know, that was kind of spin down or do 2 damage, wasn't it? But it's kind of harking back to that.
Well, ability. There was the rare Black Widow from the AVX set, just when you fielded it, you spun it down.
Yeah.
Spun down to level 1, I think. So, yeah, it's cool. I like it. I like the trigger of it. Energize is interesting. Shame you can't get to do it more than once per turn, likely, unless you do it with some other shenanigans like that and Warlock Super Rare. But I like it. I think it's good. It reminds me of the Psylocke from Uncanny X-Men, going back to the old school, like for all these cards. Yeah. But, you know, Quan on the Assassin Psylocke, where you paid 2 masks when fielded to KO something.
Yeah.
It was good removal, but a little bit too expensive. I feel like this is good removal, but a little bit too inconsistent.
Well, hey, Ben, if you get Asuka out, she'll only cost 1 mask.
Yeah.
So, you know.
She would. She's almost the most redundant thing of all time. But
okie dokie. James, we're back to Bullseye with you.
Bullseye efficiency, 4-cost bolt with a villain affiliation. When Bullseye KOs an opposing character die, spin target level 1 character die to an energy face of your choice. More spinning down. he's got good stats, hasn't he? So he's got good fielding, 0-1-1, and he's got good attack, 3-4-5, and he's 1 across the board in defense. so if your opponent's got a level 1 character that they want to keep, you know, they might let him through. They have to make a difficult choice, which is a good thing. He's a 4-cost, and you know, I imagine you might be more likely to invest in a couple of Black Widows. but if you want some stats with a similar ability, it's all right. Not terrible.
I like this. Yeah, I think it's pretty good. I think it's finally a good Bullseye, which all fans of Bullseye have wanted to look, have been wanting for a while, I suppose. If there are any such fans of Bullseye playing
Dice Masters. I'm a fan of Bullseye. I like
it. Yeah. And we're not talking about the Jim Bowen
not TV show.
Game show.
Keep out with the black, get in with the red. There's nothing in this game for two and a half.
In one!
I'm sure Peter knows exactly what we're talking about.
And Bully Star Prize tonight.
It's an old, like, UK game show that I watched my grand's house on Sunday evening when there was literally nothing else to do and I was five and couldn't move. Yeah, yeah, good. Anyway, it's good. This is good. I like
it. Lost our thread. I think the thing about it that works against it, unfortunately, is defense cost because... He's going to keep getting knocked out, and he's not a Wenfielded.
Yeah,
which I think is a bit of a shame because.
But he's not too expensive to refield.
No, that's true.
I think again, if you want bolts, if there's things to do with bolts on your team, then this is a good one to just throw, be really aggressive with, and just if you get it as bolts, then you can spend the bolts, and if you get it as a character, it still does something useful.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, well, Peter, you've got the joy of Captain Marvel this time around. Ooh, what does she do this time?
Joy. She's an inspirational Avenger. She's a 6-cost shield character with the Avengers affiliation. And while Captain Marvel is active, when one of your non-Captain Marvel Avengers character dies, deals combat damage to prep or die from your bag. I like this. I mean, it's a bit expensive. It probably only works in a casual sort of stuff. But if you have like an Avengers team and you attack with a bunch of them and they're blocked, you get to prep a whole bunch. So that's nice.
Then I feel like there's maybe something with this and the Avengers ID card, right? Where you can make things an Avenger.
Yeah.
And maybe use the die as a threat. So the Avengers ID card gives all Avengers character dies plus 2 attack.
Yeah.
Effectively. So you can attack with a bunch of stuff. Anything they let through, you can make an Avenger and give plus 2 attack. Anything they don't let through, you can make an Avenger and prep a die.
Could be good.
I'm all right. I suppose if they let it through, then you still prep a die.
Yeah,
so
you're still
whether
prep
they let it through or not, you still prep a die. Unfortunately, it's a 6-cost that you need out for ramp.
Yeah, and the fielding. That was pretty bad.
Oh, it's painful. Yeah, 1, 2, 3.
It's a bit like there's a Star Lord, which you prep dice for every Guardian character you attack with, which is pretty cool. I've messed around with that, but this is probably better than that if you can get it out because you can make Avengers with a global.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And
yeah,
so why not mention Moon Knight now? I mean, I know we'll come to it, but we might, you know, there's other things we can mention with Moon Knight.
Go on, James.
Because Moon Knight, he can copy an Avengers character card. We'll give you his proper text later. But he costs 5, and he's a mask, so Oscar.
Yeah.
And if you're going to do Avengers ID card, which is also a mask, that's pretty good, isn't it?
Maybe pairing that with something like Green Lantern.
Ooh, yeah.
So you're just prepping a bunch because one of the things with Green Lantern is without Mimic Ramp, it's hard to get enough energy to really make it a threat and make those static field globals last. So that, I mean, paired with the Black Widow as well, which is just cheap masks you want to be cycling anyway.
Yeah.
Nice. We've got a team there.
You just need a cheap Justice League character.
But mind you, with all the targeted removal, good luck with keeping all that in the field.
It has to be an aggressive thing. But if you're ramping everything every turn, I mean, that's not bad.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's not bad. Yeah. No, that's a nice, that's a good idea.
That
James.
Might be my first definite team building idea.
Out of this set
we've seen so far.
That's good. All right. Well, and who'd have thought that would come from Captain Marvel?
Yes, not me. Indeed.
All right, so Corvus Glaive is next on the list. Ben, what do you got?
Yeah, Grim Lieutenant, 3-cost fist, Black Order. When fielded, you may move a non-sidekick die from your used pile to its card. If you do, deal 2 damage to target character die or player. You go with a 1-cost. I do that, I think. Maybe it's a good win condition in draft, for sure. Although, depends if you get a cheap die or not.
Yeah.
Is there anything that triggers when you buy it? I suppose would be the interesting thing.
Cross pulse, isn't it? Or whatever it is, those weird.
Yeah, those things. So there's some utility there. I don't know how much utility there is. No. This is good. I suppose with a 1-cost Poxwalker or something, you can pay a fist to buy a Poxwalker, field this Corvus Glaive, send that Poxwalker die back or a Silgar back and deal 2 damage. It's not bad.
Yeah, It's not too bad at all.
Great stats for a when fielding.
Yeah, exactly, because he's got one defense on
one
side.
Defense.
Yeah. Yeah.
And only one fielding cost on his level 2 side, nothing else. So I think this is pretty useful.
Yeah, not too bad at all. James, Doctor Strange.
Doctor Strange, celebrated neurosurgeon, is a 6-cost mask with Infinity Watch affiliation. He's got Energize. It's a spin up 2 target character dice to energy faces of your choice. Spin up, is that the right? Let me check the card.
It means spin up to 2.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah.
Spin up to 2.
English teacher can't actually pass a sentence. Sorry. Can't read. Spin up to 2 target character dice to energy faces of your choice. And he has the same global that his other cards have, which is pay a mask. Target character die must attack this turn. Sure. But I'd rather have the 4 cost any day. I'm not going to mess about trying to hit energize with 6 costs unless they're game changing. It's all right. You know, 2 target character dice to energy face is pretty okay, but it's 6 cost, and I think
that's pretty strong, no?
I think that's really good, yeah.
Yeah, some serious.
You would buy that?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, to get...
Yeah, remove 2 things to
remove
the use
2
pile,
things, yeah.
I don't know.
Take that.
Guaranteed. The best part of Becky Lynch at 5 cost is that you can re-roll 2 of their characters and send them to the use pile.
That might be the best part, but she's also got whacking great stats and Overcrush that this necessarily won't have when you use his ability, which is just a shame, I think.
No, but this ability, when you trigger it, is guaranteed, though, isn't it? Because it's mm-hmm. it's not a re-roll, it's a spin.
It's not bad, but you have to lose the character, the die, and its stats when you get to spend the energy, as Peter pointed out previously. But for 6, it's good removal. But for 6 masks, I'd like to have the stats as well, and you're not going to.
You want it all, don't you? That's the trouble.
For 6, I do.
Don't know. I really like that. I think that's pretty strong. I mean, well, yeah, obviously you're just never going to field it unless you can win by doing it. But I don't know. I think if you could buy this and just put it in your rotation and just get it whenever you want, whenever you come back around to it. Yeah.
It's good. It's 6. What can I say?
Is it as good as something like Hulk Green Goliath, I suppose, is the comparison?
No.
Probably not.
Don't know. What other 6 costs have we had that have been... This might be the best 6 cost in a long time.
What about the Energize? That might be a 7 cost, but there's a super rare. Oh, we'll come to it, won't we? Captain Marvel.
We will come to it.
That's a 7, I think.
Yeah. That's, all right. I'm not. It's not bad. It's not bad, but it is 6.
With Oscar, it's a 4 cost.
Yeah, I knew.
We are trying to avoid that. But
how did it take so long?
Right. That's okay.
Yeah. Good. Well, now we've reached the lowest common denominator.
So we're going to ban all use of Oscar, Spider-Man rare. And
we haven't even come to Spider-Man rare yet.
Exactly. No one's
today
mentioned
you can,
it once.
Today you can mention him once, but
I've already used up my mention.
Don't know. This is 6 costs is not unfeasible to get. Like, it's just that Energize is only on like 2 out of 6 faces.
Mm. Well, we'll agree to disagree on that one and move on to Drax with Peter.
Yes, Drax the Pacifist, a 3-cost shield character with the Infinity Watch affiliation. Probably one of the most hotly anticipated control cards in the set. When fielded, choose an opposing card, cancelling all previous choices. Your opponent may not purchase or field that character until Drax leaves the field zone.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much a half the cost of the Triple H. That does the same thing.
Yes.
So that's pretty strong. You know, back in the day, we had the rare blob, of course, that did something similar that also stopped the continuous action dice, which this does not, but still. Cheaper.
Because it says card in the first sentence.
And then it says character later on. Yeah.
It says character.
So I think it only works on characters, presumably. Mm. But yeah, he's one cheaper than the blob used to be, so that makes him so much more accessible, and you can prep him over turn 1, going second with Becky, so that's really, really strong.
Yeah, this is very, very, very strong. This is probably like the new Shriek. Everyone's going to run this.
I'm happy that it's Drax as a character. I like Drax. Big fan.
Yeah. I like Drax.
Also has a global.
Oh, yeah.
He does. We haven't talked about that yet.
It's okay. Yeah, this is just, like you said, the Triple H costs 6, and I definitely considered playing him for Earth X Origins, and several people did play him to great effect. This is a must include to counter she who shall not be named.
Yeah, exactly. And Drax has got this global that you just mentioned, Ben, which is a pay 2 shields. Target character die gets +1 A and +1 D. Which, you know.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter. But
if people want to force attack him, which is what you would do with Triple X if you could, then they're going to have to pay for it to some
extent. Triple H.
Triple X. Isn't Triple X like that female spy in The Spy Who Loved Me?
What did I call him Triple X?
Triple X. Yeah,
I'm so sorry.
Isn't it Triple X rated?
But he's got semi-decent stats, and you could, if you get
it's not like Blob where you just let him 3-for-1,
and you could pump it up with his own global, which is not bad. I mean, it's 2 shields, but still, you know, if they want to force attack him on his level 3 and you've got 2 shields, that's 5.
Or yes, you must have this card, basically, is what we're saying to you. This is the best card of the whole set, probably.
Is it better than
Spider-Man?
Ooh, that's true. Oh. The best card we've got. Best card we've covered thus
far. We've got to so far. Yeah,
for the moment, anyway. For at least the next 25 minutes.
And there's been some really good cards in this rare. So,
yeah, there are.
Rare selection.
Yeah.
And then there's like one good uncommon card. So,
it's
pretty good.
It's definitely a good one. Okay, well, let's, Ben, tell us about Ebony Maw.
Yes, talking about Triple X's. This has Supernatural Persuasion. It's 5-cost mask, Black Order. When fielded, reroll target opposing character die. Your character dice cost 2 less to purchase this turn. And it's repeatable because it's when fielded. And also has a global where you pay a fist and a mask. Target character die gains the villain affiliation until the end of the turn. So I suppose there's several interesting things. One thing we should mention is that this global has already appeared.
Yes, it has.
On the Hela, which is a strange...
Yeah, that's very weird.
Coincidence that the different... the same global on different characters.
Yeah, it's very weird.
And it's a decent global. It's not the best version of this global we've seen over the whole of Dice Masters, but making stuff a villain can be useful. But the actual ability itself is pretty good. I don't know if it's worth 5, but rerolling opposing character dice is always strong. And then making your character dice 2 less to purchase this turn, whether or not that target opposing character die rerolls out, is really useful. If the one's not contingent on the other, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's another Black Order character, so
yep.
there's some nice ones.
Just when fielded, your character dice cost 2 less to purchase is pretty strong and probably worth playing. But then you also get the added bonus of get to reroll the character. So I like it a lot.
Yeah, no, it's good. And obviously with this one, the fielding costs are 0-0-1 as well, which obviously helps maximize that reduction.
Yep, this could be an interesting include on a mask team. I think the problem with these dice in general is that you're paying 5 to get a cost reduction of 2. So to really make it worthwhile, you have to be able to use this ability 3 times a game to really make it cost effective.
Does it say multiple dice? I was trying to figure out how it's different from Proxima Midnight. And
yeah, it's across the board. Everything is discounted.
Because Proxima Midnight is...
Yeah, just the next die you buy. This is not the next die, it's just all dice. So you have to... Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, if you buy multiple on that turn, you get your money's worth.
So if you get 2 Ebony Maws and fill both of them, all your characters would cost 4 less for the entire turn, so you could buy as many... So theoretically, if you got one out, you could buy the next one for 3, and then if you got both of them out at the same time, you could buy all the rest of them for 1.
I think that's quite interesting. I think that's quite different from Proxima, isn't it? It doesn't have the self KO, but
no.
You know, if you wanted to buy,
I think the self KO is where I like it better. But yeah, sure. Do you balance that out with it actually has some removal, which is useful by itself,
and a better cost reduction.
Mm-hmm.
But Proxima cost 3, and then the Black Dwarf was... The Black Dwarf was also 5, wasn't it?
Five, but the Black Dwarf also had only 1 fielding across all faces, whereas Proxima Midnight had 1 on each face.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. No, so Ebony Maw gets the thumbs up. James,
interesting combination.
James, you get Gamora.
Gamora, Angela's ally, is a 3-cost fist with the Guardian's affiliation. It's still a beautiful card, and it has the text Rush Bolt. If you draw this die during your clear and draw step, draw and roll an extra die for each bolt die. Do you know what? That's all right, that. If you had a bolty team and you wanted later in the game to be, you know, getting through your dice a bit, which is often a feeling you have, right?
Yeah.
Assuming it rolls. In fact, no, you know, it's just, you don't want to field it, okay? You don't want to pay to field it. But if you keep that going through your bag, it's going to help you. If you've got a lot of other bolts going on at the same time, I think that's pretty good. Yeah. Ramp and turn.
And extremely unusually, it doesn't have deadly on Gamora, which seems to be.
Yeah.
Well, it's a 3-cost is all right. It's a sort of, always you could, the case. I don't know, you could invest in that early on and it would pay off, I think.
I think it remains to be seen how good a rush is going to be.
Yeah, not at all convinced in any way. I want Rush and Energize on the same card. I think that would be useful because, I don't know, just the Rush ability itself is just, ugh. Not buying it. Not for me. But
he's literally not buying
people
it.
People who like Swarm could have it. I'm literally not buying it.
I haven't been convinced so far, but just the idea of buying one Gamora die. I mean, okay, it doesn't give you the control that you would like, I think, Ben, but could bring stuff around quickly, and you know that happens quite a lot when you just, you know, everything's gone to the wrong place, you've missed your characters, they've ended up in the used pile, and you're trying to get through your bloody bag. That could help out if you had a lot of bolt characters on your
team. It's difficult. It's Swarm but harder to guarantee.
Yes, I mean, obviously it has its drawback. I would give that a go. I'm not saying it's brilliant, but I would definitely.
Yeah, it doesn't require an active character, so that makes it better than Swarm in some sense. Because this
it does,
this
but it makes working. It less guaranteeable.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, for sure.
Like, it makes it theoretically easier to set up.
This could start working a turn earlier than Swarm.
Yeah, you could buy them turn. You buy this and a bolt character on turn one or whatever, and then be able to guarantee to trigger it. But
doesn't even have to be a character, you know. It could be like Yawning Portal.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
You could make the argument now that Swarm is this is better than Swarm though, because there's so much targeted removal that the chances of you keeping your Swarm down in the field.
Sure, yeah, no, that's true. Though I think having some ramp that doesn't rely on you having a character in the field,
yeah,
might be good. But I think I'd just rather have Investigation.
Investigation.
You've played your.
But
first
why
show,
are you not keen? But what's different between this and Investigation?
Investigation gives you one chance to roll stuff, and I don't roll stuff the first time.
I know. I suppose it doesn't.
Yeah.
No. This is just drawing it through your bag. You know, after your stuff has been sent to use by people's bloody spin.
You still get a roll and reroll on it. That's fair enough. Mm. It's still terrible.
All right, let's move on to Ghost Rider with Peter.
Yes, Ghost Rider Pyrokinesis is 4-cost bolt. Has Energize, spin all of your character dice in the field zone to level 3. It's not that exciting.
Isn't there a wrestler with a cross pulse ability or something like that? That does the same. Right, the one with the force attack.
Scott Hall.
Yeah.
That's better, surely.
Yeah. I think for 4-cost, it's an ability that you're only going to hit 2 out of 6 times or 1/3 of the time, aren't you, or something? So, I don't know. I don't think it's great.
Patchy. Poor old Ghost Rider.
Slightly more than that. You get to re-roll it. But
one day, Ghost Rider will get something good. Okay, let's move on to Groot, shall we? Jolly Protector. Or as he would say, I am Groot. He's a 5-cost shield with the Guardian's ability affiliation, and he has Recruit for Rocket Raccoon. Now, as we've already said in previous episodes, Recruit is when this character die deals combat damage to your opponent, you can... Is it buy? Is it field?
Field
from your use, isn't it? Yeah, which is we don't think is great. And then he has a burst phase on his levels 2 and 3 sides, which say while Groot is active, prevent the first point of combat damage to you from each attacking character die, and he also has a global that says Pair Shield. Choose an affiliation of a character die you have fielded this turn. Move a character die with that affiliation from your used pile to your bag.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to see much play.
No, I think the burst phase is kind of low-key good.
He's got two bursts.
The recruiting is terrible.
Yeah.
But there was Golems, right? We saw some play. Or Golems, even.
But they had
similar thing.
They provided extra utility. Well, I suppose that was
the
global
with
the KO thing.
With the care of
That was always a secondary thing, that prevention.
But it can be really annoying, right? If you have like a fish slap team, like if you're facing down a fish slap team, this negates one Black Widow fielding.
Yeah,
that's true. But you got an invest five in him. It's the if he was a three cost or something, then I think he'd be much more playable.
Yeah, I think the recruit ability is basically just ignore that.
Yeah.
But if you're going to use this global, and I think people should try and mess around with this global, especially in this set, there's lots of affiliation stuff happening.
Yeah, there is.
This might be the group to use, but buy it, bring it for the global, not for the ability.
No, exactly. Okay, Ben, tell us about Hela.
Death. Six cost mask with the villain affiliation. When fielded, if you fully spent an energy die to pay for Hela's fielding cost, you may reroll that die and place it into your reserve pool. You may only reroll one die, even if you spent more than one. So you can pay two as well for the global and prep a psychic die from your bag. Interesting. That took me back a bit. It's a very unusual ability.
It is.
So does that mean you can choose to spend both the energy dice on your action to field it on level 1 and 2?
Well, this is the weird thing, yeah, because her fielding cost is 1/1/2. So does that mean that only triggers when you field her on level 2? Because generally speaking, you're only going to get...
you might have a single energy. So is it just action dice? It's not just action dice.
Oh, sorry, no. Yeah, I'm thinking of it. Yeah, it's energy dice. Yeah,
single energy. But with action dice, presumably it would have to be...
So if you pay a psychic...
Yeah, yeah.
An energy die, that's unusual wording. So if you spend a psychic on an energy to field her...
Yeah.
That's what they're called. That's good wording. I approve.
Yeah.
That is what they're called. Yeah, it is good. It's just an unusual wording because I don't think we've seen them.
Are they getting better?
A step. Yeah. So that's actually pretty cool.
So you get it back.
If you miss a character, what if you've already spent part of the dice previously?
No.
If you fully spent an energy die, it says.
I think you have to spend it all on her.
Yeah.
But if you spin it down, then and then spend it.
Yeah, but I think there's weird things about the spinning down the energy. You're not technically meant to do it, are you?
It's just you are.
Remember it.
That's no. That maybe back in the day, but nowadays, I think you can just spin it down and then it becomes that energy die.
Uh-huh. Okay.
We might await a ruling on that.
I don't know. I think I've been in arguments about this before. Because crossover characters, possibly. Like if you have a crossover character, you can't spin it down to just a question mark.
Yes, you can.
I don't know. Maybe you can now.
Okay, it's interesting. Let's just
anyway, let's go back to the ability. This is cool. This gives you a second chance at a character. If you don't get an energy you want on a sidekick, you can do this, and
you basically might get both the energy and the character.
Yeah, that'd be great. I mean, effectively, it could be free to field as well.
And if it was an energize ability that you just
trigger it.
You could have reached, you could get it again, or you could get the character, or it could be interesting.
Yeah, and then you get a 5/5/6/6/7/7 character. Hela's stats have always been really good. Anyway, so the ability is unusual and exciting and maybe worth playing around with, but this global is super good. So you can do it as many times as you want as well. So you pay two to prep a psychic die from your bag. So you can do that basically as many times as you can afford it. And you can set up the thing we previously mentioned. Was this on her?
Yeah,
so you can do some funky stuff, like you can set up your bag on turn two by paying all four energy to prep two dice, and it'll refill your bag. I like it a lot.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, no, it is. It's on her uncommon, but then weirdly she's got on her common, she's got the Villain Maker global that we talked about before, which we didn't really understand. But Let's crack on, James. You're up next with Hulk.
Hulk, Hunter Green, 5-cost fist with the Avengers affiliation. He has call out when this character die attacks. Target character die is the only character die that may block this character die. And it's got great stats, of course. And it's got a global, which says pair fist. Target character die gets +1 attack until end of turn. You know what? It's all right, isn't it? it's a Hulk for five with a useful ability to some extent. And if you had a, you know, one of those Black Dwarfs or whatever they were, those Black Order things that give overcrush when they're fielded and plus two attack, I think that could be quite fun. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, buying a few of these is good.
Yeah. Peter, Iron Lad.
Iron Lad, Slaying Kang, 4-cost Bolt Avenger. When Iron Lad deals combat damage to your opponent, prep a die from your bag. Yeah, it's too tricky to trigger that, probably. But he does also have the global. Once per turn, pay a bolt when a source you control deals damage to your character die or player. If you do, prep a die from your bag. So I guess if they block him, you could pay a bolt and prep a die. But yeah, it's these sorts of abilities are too hard to trigger, I think. Same with the recruit. If it just was just regular combat damage, it would be good. But if it's only to your opponent.
I do love that level 3 side, the 1/5/6.
Yeah.
That is great stats.
But the level 1 side, not so much.
Shame about the rest of them.
0/2/2.
Yeah.
It's super cool.
Yeah, it's not good. Ben, it's back to you with Iron Man, Smart Guy on Earth.
Yes, Smart Guy on Earth. Doesn't sound like a very smart sentence.
No, it doesn't really, does it?
Sure. He's a 4-cost shield anyway, and he has Rush Fists. And then he also has secondary ability, when fielded, spin target, opposing level 1 character die to an energy face. It's going to be a good way to deal with God Catchers. Well, no, you can't do that because you can't spin God Catchers. Never mind, this is okay. Nothing better. Probably the best Iron Man we've seen so far, which isn't saying a lot. I don't like Rush. And this is definitely not the way to do Rush because it's a 4-cost. And yeah, just run Black Widow, the rare Black Widow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Next.
Next is Kang, James.
Oh, Kang, Peerless General. He's a 5-cost mask with a villain affiliation. While Kang is active, each of your attacking character dice can only be blocked by 2 or more character dice. He's got okay stats, 4/5/5 attack, fielding costs not very nice, 1/1/2. And he's got a global. I think global is probably more interesting. Pay a mask, it's the same one that's on the uncommon, I think. If a character would deal you 7 or more combat damage, it instead deals you only 4 combat damage. We talked about this last time. I don't think that the ability is much to write home about. The global is good and useful.
I think in draft it could be pretty cool, because anything that makes your opponent double block anything that you attack with, I think in draft is really cool.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that are okay in draft, but he's a 5-cost, for God's sake.
If you have 3 characters out, they have to have 6 characters for them to block everything.
Yeah.
Look, okay in draft. Outside of draft?
I don't know. There's a lot of cheap stats around. I mean, if you can get a bunch of just lower than 7 attack.
Okay. Actually, in fact, I wasn't reading his ability properly. I was thinking it was just the Kang dice. If it's all your dice, that's a bit different.
No, it's all your dice. So if you have a bunch of weenie...
With a fish slap team or something like that.
Yeah, just a couple of Black Widows and some sidekicks. It's fish slap, yeah.
Or even with the blank Miss Marvel, who's got those really good stats. Which is a 3-cost, isn't it, in this set? The common.
Yeah, but you don't want anything with higher than 7. Does Miss Marvel have?
She hasn't
than 7?
Got that though. Yeah, she only goes up to 6, so she's perfect.
Six.
Yeah.
Maybe it's good that they've combined something which is good for a wide team with something which stops. That's a good combo, isn't it? You know, you're stopping your Beckys, but you're giving a boost to the wide field. I take it back. It's pretty good.
No, actually, I can definitely see this with. You run this with the Angela, which is also a villain, which is the 4-cost, which prevents when fielded.
Oh, yeah.
And, there's some serious villain potential there. Interesting.
Yeah, moral of that story is read the text properly.
Which Peter is about to do with Loki.
Loki Preventative Measures, a 6-cost bolt villain. When fielded, choose an opposing character card, replacing all previous choices. While Loki is active, when your opponent fields a character die from that card, Loki deals it 3 damage. I don't know if there's any relevant cards that are going to die from the 3 damage.
Man, I wish this had been around.
When Shriek was there.
Yeah. A year ago. Like, this is Scarlet Witch killer.
Yeah. It would be perfect for things like Shrieker that had maximum of 3 defense, didn't it? And some of those other ones. But it seems like a lot more of the, I mean, more of the big control cards like Drax and some of those others generally have more than 3, don't they? Yeah, for a 6 cost, it's probably a bit too much of a reach, isn't it, I think, for that level of damage. If it was like 5 damage, then...
Mm.
Some utility maybe in playing it against like a Hope Summons team would be kind of interesting. Although you'd blow up your field when they fielded it. Should be fun, I suppose.
That's not a game I want to play.
Be an interesting game. I don't know. What do you think about it? Like, there's a way to stop Iceman or something. You half basically are what Iceman can do. Just not worth a 6, is it?
No.
And the thing is, Iceman's only normally fielded once, isn't he, generally?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you would slow him down a bit, but probably wouldn't kill him.
Yeah, if they get Iceman on level 1, then they then can't do anything, can they? Without carrying him.
Yeah.
Not on that turn, no. But then be all right the next turn.
Oh, they just wait, don't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, because they haven't fielded him. All right, well, we talked a bit about this character already, but we are at Moon Knight with you, Ben.
One Man Avenger. He's a 5-cost mask. At the beginning of the game, choose one of your Avenger character cards. For the remainder of the game, Moon Knight is considered to have the text of that card, including global abilities, instead of this text, replacing their name with his own, if applicable.
Mm.
Yeah, I think important thing to note is it's only a max of 1.
Yeah.
So you can only have one of these dice. This kind of got a lot of buzz when it was first announced, I think at Worlds or Origins.
Yeah.
As kind of like the New Hope Summers that we just mentioned. I think it's less good than that. It's more interesting maybe because you have to name it at the beginning of the game. It's not as adaptable because you can't change your mind halfway through about which X-Men or in this case, Avenger character card you want to name. But it could be interesting to make some of those Avengers that cost more than 5 down to a 5, especially with Oscar. I'm not that excited about this card. I'm sure there's something in it, but it's not as strong to me as it could be or should be, perhaps.
Pretty card. Hey, I like this. Yeah, I was a big fan of Moon Knight. I was always a Marvel boy.
Let's talk more art while we're on a podcast. That's just what that is.
Pull up the team builder, have a look at it. It's really nice. And Moon Knight is cool.
You want there to be some kind of once per turn global on an Avenger that you can double this up with. There should be something with this. But I've looked, there's not really any global abilities which I want 2 of in a turn on an Avenger. There's not anything that's worth me just... I mean, the thing is, it's a 5 cost and it's only max 1.
Yeah.
It's not as if you can buy a bunch of these and make them into the cheaper version of a big statted Avenger character.
Yeah.
What about the 7 cost Doctor Strange, that janky one that Nick's been playing with?
I think that's interesting, the way it doubles the use of action dice. So yeah, if you get that out and the Moon Knight out,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, but then you're paying a 5 and a 7 cost. I don't know. It just, to me, it feels a bit redundant. I would rather use that space to be able to get the 7 cost.
You don't even need to get them both out. You just get. Instead, you know, you got your 5 cost. You only need one of them. That's important. And instead of paying 7, you've got 5. And, you know, there is Oscar, obviously. And that with, is it Wild Magic? Is that what it's called that he was using it with?
I think you could do some fun stuff in Golden if you weren't talking about modern. You know, you could do, I mean, there's things like the 7 cost Natalia Romanova, or whatever she's called.
Romanova, who does 4 damage.
Yeah, when you attack with her. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, that'd be pretty good.
It's all right. It's just, I think 5 costs is too much for it.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. There's also the Captain Marvel Super Rare from this set, which we haven't spoken about yet, which is a 7 cost and has the energized ability, reroll all opposing character dice.
I think there's some value in it. I just think you're just basically, all you're doing is reducing the cost by 2
Yeah, once. Yeah, I know. It's a shame.
I think there's just better ways to do, like, just bring Kree Captain, then you can do it multiple times.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, or bring some of the Black Order dice, and then you can do it multiple times. I just think it's a bit of a wasted slot. I wish it was max 4. I think that would make it more worthwhile, or at least a bit more interesting, or maybe max 1 but a 4 cost. I don't know. It's just not hope.
Yeah.
I think I wanted it to be Hope Summers.
Yeah. And also, I don't like the R very much. But anyway.
You dog.
It looks like an optical illusion.
What's wrong with
anyway,
that?
Anyway, let's not talk about art on a podcast. I've already broken my own rule. I suppose one final little thought on that. It almost feels like one of these, because it's a 5 cost and because of the things that you just said, Ben, it feels like one of those cards that people talk about loads before the set comes out, but then nobody actually plays when it comes to... I think
people will try it and then just kind of be like, okay, that was interesting, but let's wait until something comes. Maybe something comes up and it's just comes back into the fold once there's an amazing card in the next Marvel set.
Yeah, like a 12 Avenger. Cost Avenger.
Well, it's one to watch. Let's crack on.
Yeah, let's do that. James, with you and Ms. Marvel.
Ms. Marvel standing against Hate, 5 cost shield, Avengers affiliation. She's got Overcrush and she's got decent stats. She's not Becky and she's not as good as her common. Let's move on.
Peter, Nebula.
Nebula, Space Pirate, 5 cost mask, Guardians affiliation with Awaken, deal 1 damage to target character die and 2 damage to target player. That is pretty interesting. It's like the Atom that deals 2 damage when he awakens, but this one also deals damage to a character die as an extra. It's a 5 cost, but you know, it's a mask character. So I think this has potential, because you know, when you're playing Awaken, you probably have bunch of masks, because the main global to trigger Awaken is on energy field, and you pay a mask to spin a character and spin a character down to spin a character up. Mm-hmm. So it fits into that. So I would probably opt to put this on an Awaken team instead of Atom.
Ooh, pretty cool.
With some reduction.
Yeah. I think
on
because
side.
Of the fact that it's a mask, I agree with you. I think this is better than the Atom. I think one of the problems with Atom is that it's a fist.
Yeah.
And you want masks and Oscar. Yeah, this seems like an obvious choice. And something someone should mess around with.
That's pretty cool. Okay, we'll go to Pip the Troll, Ben, with you, which is a 5 cost shield, which I think is kind of weird because there's another version of this in the set that's a 2 cost, isn't there? I think so. It's kind
yes,
of strange.
Let me tell you how terrible this card is. 5 cost shield with a 1/1/1/0/1/2/0/2/2. That must be the worst statted die of all time.
Yeah, it's probably true.
For a
Peter,
5 cost,
Peter,
yeah.
No doubt, can give us a.
The home
a verdict
value.
On this.
Yeah. The homash values, yeah. Contagious Debauchery, anyway, is the subtitle of Pip the Troll. And its text probably more than makes up for how terrible the stats are. When fielded, spin after 2 opposing character die to energy phases.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. It's pretty strong.
Hey, it's really strong. And actually, the bad stats count in its favor, though, don't they? Here, you don't want this big fat dude stuck in the field.
You want a lot of trolls. in circulation and just be a jerk. And yeah, this is horrible. This is going to be just the worst to play against, isn't it?
It's much, much better than the Doctor Strange because it costs less and it's not energized.
Yeah, but they can be stopped by Angela. Doctor Strange can't be.
True, but still.
I mean, this is pretty good to get 2 guaranteed bits of removal and not just removal to the use pile. Effectively via the reserve pool on energy faces, but you get to choose what energy faces they are. So pretty gross, pretty gross.
It's pretty gross. And
well named.
I mean, this is just going to be the shields are plenty, right? So Pip the Troll, Drax, Becky is just going to be like, let's do it. Man. Shields for the win.
Yeah, and at the risk of talking about art again, Pip the Troll is showing how heroic he is by seemingly doing a puzzle in his picture, which clearly
this
shows...
is very debaucherous. the basest form of entertainment art.
He's not a guy to be trifled with. No, that's going to see a lot of play, without doubt. James, tell us about Proxima Midnight.
Oh, no. The other two are much better. 6 cost
is
shield.
Is that the subtitle?
She's a killer for hire. She's a Black Order affiliation. When fielded, KO all opposing level one character dice. Yeah.
Don't know. Yeah. James is just having very averse, like the opposite reactions to cards than I am.
Yeah. No, six cost shield.
This kills God Catchers.
In draft, it'll clear fields. Okay. Outside of draft, no. Nah,
gets rid of God Catchers.
Absolutely.
It's not going to see play. Bloody gets rid of two all cost God shield catches. Gets rid of God. Two cost shield gets rid of God.
Yeah, but this gets rid of all of the God Catchers.
Okay. Good luck working up to that six cost. No. No, just while they're building their field up with Golka. No, I'm not having it. But time will tell how much play that sees. I'm very averse to six costs. I struggle with five costs, frankly. Sorry, what?
I'm running the common all the time, but this is okay.
Well, there are two better versions, and it costs six. And the ability is fine, but it costs six. Let's move on.
Peter, we're back with you, and Rocket Raccoon.
And Grow, apparently. Interesting subtitle.
I don't understand that subtitle. But anyway.
It probably has to do with Groot, presumably. Anyway, he's a three-cost bolt with the Guardian's affiliation. He has Awaken, reroll a die in your reserve pool. So that's pretty interesting. You could re-trigger energize things with that. You could have another go at a character you missed. It's pretty good. I don't know if I would reserve a slot for it on my team, though.
Could you do it multiple times if you managed to hit the... Could you trigger energize repeatedly?
Yeah.
It's pretty good. It's like a parallax. It's like a two-cost parallax, right? To be granted,
yeah, you can only reroll one die.
No. You have to. So you have to spin. Yeah, two masks to do parallax effectively.
Mm-hmm.
It should be noted that the uncommon is called "Make Like a Tree."
Oh, is it?
Ah, okay. Mm-hmm. And grow.
That makes a bit more sense. Thank you.
Okay. So shouldn't it be "and split"?
No, and leave.
Banana.
all right.
I like this. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I like it too. We agree.
Hooray.
Woohoo.
Well, before we start arguing again, let's move on to Sandman Ben.
Sinister, three-cost fist villain. While you have the character die in the field zone with the highest fielding cost showing, or tied for the highest, your active Sandman character dice have their printed attack doubled on all levels. Fearsome. Absolutely terrifying.
We talked about Sandman's lack of decent stats, didn't we, last time? And I think we...
Even when they're doubled.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought 3 costs, he'd be 4-6-6. I don't know, with that Kang.
I did the math on this.
Yes.
If he has his stats doubled, he would actually score a 2 on the home ash scale, which would make him...
which would make him...
Decent.
Decent. Thanks.
I thought you were going to say, like, the best die ever.
No.
What was the Miss Marvel?
That was a 2.73. So that's... And 2 is sort of the lower limit for being decent.
So what you're saying is if you doubled his stats, then he'd be okay. Attacking.
Yes. Yeah.
That's okay. Can we move on then?
Okay. Who's next? We're on She-Hulk.
You.
It's a six cost. I don't want to do it.
Okay. You're up.
I'll do it then. While She-Hulk is active, when your opponent draws and rolls more than 4 dice during their roll and reroll step, you may spin target character die to an energy face of your choice, and she's a 6 cost shield with the Avengers affiliation. So that is contingent on your opponent using something like Rush or Swarm or something along those lines. I'm not gonna pay 6 for that.
It doesn't even work for Villainous Pet or something. So no,
because it's only when they draw.
There's a Macho Man, which both players draw 5 dice every turn and roll them.
Oh, that's true. That's then true. The cowboy
that could be really, really, really trolly.
Yeah,
that could be quite funny. How much does he cost?
He's 4 cost.
That's all right. That's funny. I'll give that.
There's also a Nebula where if they draw and roll more than 4 dice, they lose 2 life.
Yeah, combine them. They lose two life and they lose a character.
It's like a death and taxes team, isn't it?
Is that
what it's called?
It's pretty funny. This reminds me of the static from Green Arrow and Flash.
Yeah.
Yeah, where when they roll stuff, you do stuff, which is a really awkward timing window because they can't do anything to stop it, basically.
Oh, I'm warm into that.
Yeah, it's good. It's fun.
Go on.
Okay, well, now we're at, well, maybe the best card in the set.
I think you should do this again, Spider-Man.
Have we mentioned Spider-Man? I don't know. Have we talked about Spider-Man? I'm not sure. Anyway, Spider-Man Public Menace. He has a 4-cost fist. He has no affiliations, but he says when Spider-Man attacks, spin target character die to an energy face of your choice. So that is unbelievably good. You can just remove anything you want on either side of the field, yours or your opponent's, and there's pretty much nothing they can do about it. It's incredibly good, and you can because it's a when attacks ability, you can just keep reusing it if you distract him back or if he gets blocked or whatever. It's really good.
Unless you accidentally nominate your own Spider-Man to be spun down.
Yeah, that would be quite a blunder. But I mean, this is going to be another staple card, isn't it? A load of everyone, like, you know, we've talked about Drax, that's going to be in a lot of teams. Spider-Man is going to be in a heck of a lot of teams as well, I think.
Agreed.
Phenomenal card. Yep. Amazing.
Yeah.
I had it 11 used against out of 10. Me at Worlds. It was.
Did you go to Worlds?
This was actually in my starting hand, and I passed it.
Did you pass this card up in draft?
It did. For a super rare.
Got a super rare Star-Lord, but that doesn't mean much because super rare Star-Lord is not very good. But
it's not nearly as good.
It's very good. Yeah. Well, Ben, why don't you tell us about the rare Star-Lord?
I also drafted this Star-Lord, King Spartax, 4-cost fist, guardian affiliation, has a terrible ability called Rush. And it's Rush non-Star-Lord Guardians. Actually, that's not terrible. It also has Energize, up to 2 target character dice gain call-out, which is also okay. Rush Energize in combination could be interesting because at least you get something, like you definitely want to roll it on those energy faces.
Yeah, totally.
Because you want to keep this cycling. Non-Star-Lord Guardians is broad, which is good for Rush, I suppose, especially seeing as all the RDA Guardians basically have Rush.
Yeah.
But none, this is not phenomenal. The Energize ability is only okay. We've seen Star-Lord give call-out before. And it's a fun ability, but it's not the best ability ever.
It's not the best ability ever, no. Peter, Supergiant.
Supergiant Mind Control, 4-cost shield with Regenerate. And when fielded, you may use a copy of target character dies when fielded ability.
Now, yes, we refer ourselves to our previous episode in which we talked about the fact that regenerate is massively unhelpful.
About regenerate now
in something, in something that you want to keep out of the field.
Yeah, once again,
so you can refill them.
Yeah, so that is not a useful combination at all. The ability, I don't know. Are there a lot of really expensive things with useful when fielded abilities? No.
Stomper.
Yeah.
9-cost stomper.
Target character stomper. The dog for the area in the field.
So you get stomper out, and then there's only a max one, right? It just gets stuck in the field.
Yeah.
This and then lets you
get super giant stuck in the field as well.
Yeah, that's kind of the problem, isn't it? It's good. Yeah. It's not as good as our uncommon where you can take control.
Yeah, okay. I think I'd rather bring a Nihilor to KO my own stuff than field this to copy a when fielded effect.
I suppose you can get round. I suppose you could get round to the regenerate thing by spinning her out of the field rather than.
That's true.
Knocking
her
out.
Yeah, but then she has to go through her bag again.
But then it goes via use, exactly. Yeah,
so yeah, or the Rocket Raccoon to reroll her. With his ability, with the awaken ability. There's ways to do it, which is a good thing. There's Black Swan as well that we also talked about, which was kind of terrible, but definitely ways to repeat it. I just don't know if any of the, just buy more of the when fielded effects you want to trigger, I suppose.
Exactly.
There's a rare wolf that did the same thing, which kind of never saw that much play.
No, exactly. James, why don't you tell us about your old buddy Thanos?
Thanos, enemy of life. 8-cost mask. Just goes up. Black Order. He has energized. Target character die gets +4 attack. And Thanos gets, costs 2 less to purchase to a minimum of 1, while your opponent has 20 life. He doesn't have Overcrush. That's a disappointment.
Yeah.
And he definitely doesn't have double Overcrush, which is more of a disappointment.
No.
So I think there are better Thanoses, in my opinion.
And as ever, you don't really want him on his energized side, do you? Because you want to play 8 for a character that you're not fielding.
Indeed. No. Sorry, Thanos. Mm. Like the other one. Like the other one better.
Yeah, that one. All right, let's move on, Ben. You're up next with the Collector.
We've got another good one. Driven by Purpose is a 5-cost masked villain. Has Awaken. Choose an unpurchased character die with purchase cost 3 or less. Field that character die at level 1. At end of the turn, or when this die leaves the field zone, return it to its card. You may only use this ability once per turn. Also has a global, which is the Psychic Maker global, which is a really good global. Great global would be played by itself. But this is basically the Rare Collector from Guardians of the Galaxy, sort of.
Yeah, it kind of is.
A little bit changed in that you can only purchase 3 costs or less, but you have to do them for free. Just spin up the Collector, and you could do the ability more than once per turn, theoretically, right? No, it says only once per turn.
No, yeah, you can only do it once per turn. Yeah.
Never mind. But pretty good. Most of the stuff that you were doing with the other Collector anyway was 3 costs or less. This is really strong. I like it. This is going to be another card that's going to see a lot of play.
Yeah, I think so. It's slightly more
difficult to trigger.
Yeah, than the normal Collector when you just, you know, you just needed to be able to, if you wanted to field a 3 cost, you could just pay 1.
Yeah, but theoretically, if it's on level 2 or level 1, you only need to spend 1 to do that.
Spin it up.
The Awaken is not the easiest thing to feel. I mean, Awaken energy field is not the easiest thing to trigger multiple times. Because you have to have 2 characters of dice that you can spin up and down. But pretty cool, especially if you had something like the Zatanna, where when you field a thing, it automatically gets spun up. So you could do that with the this, and then anytime you field a character, it gets spun up to its level 2, and you have stats that you can spin down or up.
Excellent. Peter, the spot.
Spot Sinister 16, 5-cost shield with the villain affiliation. Yes, when fielded, deal 1 damage to target character die and reroll a different target character die. Yeah, I mean, that pip is a lot better than this. And it stats aren't that much better than pip.
It's pants, isn't it?
Yeah.
Who's ever heard of a 5-cost spot? It's ridiculous.
It is strange.
2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 5. What the hell?
The troll. Forget the spot.
Yeah. Let's not go with that one. James, tell us about Thor then.
Oh man, I've just been looking at the spot from the Guardians of the Galaxy. I've lost the thing.
I'll take Thor. You can take the next one. It's a good one.
Go on, Ben.
Take this one. Thor, the Golden Avenger, is a 6-cost bolt. You can prevent all damage dealt to Thor if you control 3 or more Avenger character dice. Also has a Thor global, which we've covered several times, and it's okay. But this ability isn't very good. James, it's your turn.
Thank you for taking that fall for me, Ben. Thank you. It's Tombstone Witness. Intimidation is the next one. He's a 4-cost fist with a villain affiliation. He has Intimidate. When fielded, remove target opposing character die from the field zone until end of turn and place it next to your character cards. While Tombstone is active, your opponent may not purchase or field character dice with a printed cost of 2. That's just character dice. And his stats are ranging from awful, 0-2-2. Then the fielding costs start on level 2, 2-4-4, and then he's a 4-8-6. I think I misspoke last time I talked about it. 4-8-6. Yeah, well, Intimidate is a when fielded ability. if you've got a bit of yawning portal going on, I suppose you might not have to pay for him. I mean, it's a good ability, but doesn't it appear on the blob, which is still in modern?
Yep.
So why would you buy this?
Because it has
Intimidate. It has Intimidate, that blob doesn't.
Okay, but I'd still go with the blob. Yeah, sure. Good combination of abilities. If you can field it for free, that's quite strong.
Reboot Gilliman Global is going to see some play.
Oh, yeah. I keep forgetting about that.
The one that
which is a pay shield field, the next character die shield for free.
I think free. That's awesome. Yeah, I like that. Okay.
Intimidate strong. I like this. That's good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let's have a look at Turk Barrett then, Peter.
No.
Well, briefly.
Your favourite character, James, isn't it, this?
Oh, he's rapidly becoming my bête noir.
Well, it's good job it's Peter's turn.
I don't even know who he is. He has his subtitle is Infinity Watch. He has the Infinity Watch affiliation, fittingly. He's a three-cost bolt, has Energized. You may deal one damage to target character die. And while Turk Barrett is active, when you roll double bolt on a die, you may deal one damage to target character die or player. It's reminiscent of that old D&D card. What's again? The Chimera or something?
Pyro.
I know what you mean. Basically Pyro. The lion-y, dragon-y thing?
No, yeah, what the hell? Manticore.
Manticore, that's the one. Yeah, that, but that dealt two damage when you rolled the double bolts. So that was a lot better. I wish the Energize would also deal damage to a player. Then it would be okay-ish. But it only deals the one damage to a character die. Yeah.
This is alright. You don't think it's alright?
That's alright.
I think it's alright.
It's a lot better than the other two.
If you had a load of two-cost god catcher dice or something like that you were rolling loads and you could bring them round and...
It's good. If it's in the field, you can do some stuff with bolts, deal some damage. And if not, you just get the energized effect. It's basically only not good on level one. For three costs, buy this just... It's free to field. I like this quite a bit.
Gamora, Turk, Barrett, god catcher team. There you go. You heard it here first.
Yeah, minus Gamora and Rush, because Rush is terrible. But yeah, this is pretty... I don't know. I think it's weird that this formatted in the way that the while Turk Barrett is active isn't its own next paragraph.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're not reliant on each other.
No.
So I think whatever face you roll this on, it's free to field or it'll give you some bolts and it'll always just ping your opponent. That's good.
Ben, tell us about Typhoid Mary, which is another card that's been making waves in advance of being released.
Yes, red rubber boots. She is, interestingly, a bolt mask, 4-cost, with the hand affiliation. And Typhoid Mary costs one less to purchase if you have an active hand character dice, which is unfortunate because she's the only hand character die.
Yeah.
When fielded, choose an opposing character card replacing all previous choices. While Typhoid Mary is active, ignore that card's text. So it's the old Shriek.
Yeah.
And it's back, baby.
It's back.
It's annoying as ever, but it's a little bit more balanced because it's a bit more expensive and a bit more awkward, but has killer stats to go with that, with the 2, 4, 5 on top level, which is pretty good. But actually, not killer stats. 0, 1, 2 is pretty pathetic, but 4 and 5 defense on level 2 and 3. It's good. It's painful. It's going to be used in tandem with Drax to be a real pain in everyone's butt.
Yeah, without doubt.
But let's do some control, so hooray.
Yeah, no, absolutely. No, it's yet another control option, which is good news.
There's still no ramp, but there's control.
Yeah, exactly. So every game's going to take 50 minutes now. But a lot of people are going to be excited to see this card back. And it will be interesting, actually, to see what the sort of adjustment in purchase cost means to its inclusion in teams, because obviously Shriek was on almost literally every top tier team you would hope to see. It'd be interesting to see to what extent Typhoid Mary also does that, because obviously she's slightly more expensive. She's slightly more awkward because you need to have at least one bolt and you need to have at least one mask in order to purchase her. And her sort of cost reduction is almost irrelevant because, as you pointed out, Ben, she's the only hand character that we've got so far. So that's really not going to come into play.
Well, she does reduce her own cost once you have one out.
Yeah, but it's not like the Shriek where you can buy it turn one.
No.
Always.
No.
I think the Drax will probably be more popular.
Yeah.
Just because of the costing. But this is pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, it'll see a lot of play without any doubt.
Run both, be a jerk.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of people will. Okay, James, let's round things off with Wong.
Wong is a second-rate Jarvis. He's a two-cost fist with a Mystic's affiliation, and when fielded, if you spent one or more mask energy to field Wong, reroll target opposing character die. And he's got his usual good stats of 0221331433. Well, the stats are great, and it costs two, and it's got Mystic's affiliation. Doesn't matter, even if the text is good or bad, but the text is okay. It's, you know... it's re-rolling, it's not spinning down, sadly, but what do you want for two? So I like that. I'd buy it. I don't know if I'd put it on a team necessarily and constructed, but I'd buy it in draft for sure. It'll see a bit
the
of
effect
play,
only maybe. Works on his level 2 and 3 though.
Yeah.
When fielded if you spend one of them. Because he's got zero fielding cost. Unless they happen to handily play something which increases fielding costs for
What do you think is better out of this than the Black Widow we covered earlier? The 2-cost Black Widow, which energizes and spins down.
Ooh, tough call, because he's got better stats and her ability is a bit better, but it's still a bit wonky because if they're not energized. Level 1, then it's not removing and it's energized.
Mm-hmm.
This is a bit more. Well, the reroll is 50-50, but you get to do it probably more often. Ah, they're both good. If you want a 2-cost fist and a 2-cost mask, there you go. You can have them.
Run both. That'd be pretty fun.
Run both. Yeah, why not?
I think you draft.
Or just run
pick
the troll, and who cares?
Yeah. I think it'd be a good strong pick in draft, wouldn't it? It's certainly something you'd pick up early if you had the opportunity to get some 2-cost action going on.
I mean, reroll is only 50-50, we're saying, but still, you know, the clammy hand of death grips my heart whenever somebody says, okay, now reroll that.
So, yeah.
You know, for two fists, I think that's quite all right.
Yeah. I mean, of course, it's not going to deal with tokens, is it? But it's going to deal with... it's going to deal with a lot of other stuff, so that's good. All right, well, that is a good... solid card to finish on, and now we are the finish line is in sight. We're in the home stretch. We have done the commons, we've done the uncommons, we've done the rares. We are not far off finishing our epic journey through every single card in this set. So stick with us for the next episode, where we'll be moving on to those big red cards, the super rares. But we'll move on.
Okay, it's me, James, and I'm going to wrap up with Ben this week because Spug, whilst also being grossly incompetent, is in fact on holiday, so he can't join us. And we just want to talk a little bit about Dice Fight XL, which happened on Saturday. Ben,
yep.
How was it for you?
Yeah, pretty good event. It was fun seeing all the Infinity Gauntlet kind of things interact with the common meta and what we know of it. Although I didn't run anything Infinity Gauntlet, it was still kind of cool to try and deal with the rare Drax and some of the other cards that are new.
And there were 14 people, just so people know, the 14 people took part, which I was pretty pleased with. I was kind of hoping for 16, but I think 14 is a good sort of solid number. And everyone stayed till the end. And I think from the feedback I've got, people had a pretty good time. And I enjoyed seeing the variety of teams. It was pretty decent variety, I think. All worked out pretty well. The winner of the overall event was, somewhat predictably, Peter, our very own Peter.
Yes, he's off celebrating. That's why he's not doing the outro and I am. So.
Ben got the booby prize of having to record with me. Peter was running an Iceman team with Turk Barrett, super rare, if I'm not mistaken.
Really good. Really cool. Yep.
position number two was Joe Vega. Congratulations, Joe. Because none of the DMU crew were going to get any prizes, they were transparent for prizing purposes. Joe was effectively, Joe was the actual winner of the top prize. So well done, Joe. And did you see what his team was?
He had the new rare collector and a bunch of weird delaying tactics for stuff like Becky versus Becky. And he kind of was just feeling the parasite, I think, with the collector. I didn't play his team, but yeah, it was kind of a delaying tactics team.
I like that collector. Super cool.
It was a really interesting, like, masky type build. There was lots of masky types build, but his was really cool.
That collector was spin up, spin down, wasn't it? He also had the nebula, which did the damage.
Yeah.
I like that. Well done, Joe. In third place, we had Benzino. who was running, I think, a Godcatcher team, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty strong Godcatcher team.
Yep, that was pretty brutal, so well done. So those two got the top prizes, Joe and Benzino. Ben then came in fourth, and what were you running, Ben?
Becky, kind of, the two commentators or ring announcers, as Basie Actions, Booker T and Jerry Lawler. Then mainly I was doing Aquaman, who has Strike,
nice,
combined with Atlantis as the ramp engine. The Atlantis with the global, and basically just trying to redo Strike over and over again with the Jerry Lawler global. Because it's a way around the Angela that stops when fielded as well, right? Because Strike is a keyword. So he always gets Overcrush and +2/+2, and his stats are really strong.
That's pretty cool.
It was okay. It was good.
Next in line was General Nemesis in fifth place, who was running another Godcatcher team, but slightly different from the norm, I think.
Kind of like a fish slappy Godcatcher team with the ramp, the Atlantis, where when you field a sidekick, you ramp some, and you had the collector global.
Mm-hmm. And a bit of good news for General Nemesis. I think I can announce this now. I'll write to you as well. But Joe very kindly decided to pass on his prizing. It was enough for him to have finished higher than the highest of the non Dice Masters United crew. So he was very pleased about that. And we also were very impressed by the creativity of his team. So that was enough for him. And he decided that he would accept no prizing. So his prize will pass down to General Nemesis. I'll be in touch. Well done, mate.
Joe's just a good guy all around. Yeah.
He is. Well done, Joe. After that, in sixth place was Steve, who I suspect was also running a bit of Godcatcher.
Yep, he did.
And he got absolutely walloped by Benzino's Godcatcher in 7 minutes and 16 seconds or thereabouts. And in doing so, won the prize for the fastest death.
Yeah, this is part of our mystery prize. The first of our mystery prizes we gave away.
So well done, Steve. And then we had TJ with a Becky Green Lantern a tune mashup. Were with a bit of Black Widow and Wong action for good measure. And he was followed by Rick from the Netherlands, Empire, who won the most creative team with his Bobby Heenan Black Panther creation.
Yeah, it was interesting, kind of really going in on what makes Bobby Heenan good, playing around with the damage that Bobby Heenan can do for blockers and kind of trying to manipulate as many blockers as possible.
Mm-hmm. Then we had Rob, who was running, it was a Green Lantern team, I think, with Clayface. And he was one of the three people who included five Infinity Gauntlet cards on the team. And since he was the highest finisher, who was not Peter, he won the prize, the mystery prize for most Infinity Gauntlet cards. What did he have, Ben?
Yeah, lots of masks. There was quite a lot of masks in general. He had a Green Lantern win condition, but the other new cards he used, the Doctor Strange common and the Kang common, which has a swarm and is good statted for a mask character. And then he was also running the rare Black Widow, which we talked about in this episode, which is really good. And the rare Drax as well, which was really prevalent. It's really strong. And then the Villainous Pack global, which is just a solid ramp global.
Lovely. Well done, Rob. Yeah, that was good though. Then we had Mosh Pit Medic, who won the prize for the fewest globals with just two. He had Clayface and Energy Field.
No Infinity Gauntlet cards as well. Just like me, he doesn't like proxies, apparently.
Fair enough.
But he was just using the Clayface and Energy Field globals, and he was using the Atom win condition. It'd be interesting to see what he could do with the Nebula win condition as well. So kind of, if he matched this together with Joe's team, that could be an interesting result, I suspect.
Yes, that would be cool. Okay, good. So well done, Mosh Pit Medic. And we then had Nefarious Broadcaster, who was playing in his first event and sent us an absolutely lovely email about how he'd enjoyed it. And it had been his first big leap from the kitchen table to competitive events, and it had gone really well. So I'm extremely pleased for you, and we were all made up to get such lovely feedback.
Yep. And he used the Angela uncommon, which is cool. It's a strong card. And Nefarious Broadcast, obviously, because of his name, had to throw that card in there.
Next was Mr. McCat with his fish slap team with added Thor. And after that was Troy. What was Troy running then?
He was running another Bobby Heenan thing, wasn't he? With the rare Kang for protection, rare Drax. And he also had the Miss Marvel kind of just really good stats, as we talked about, the common Miss Marvel. Blank text, just some really good stats for low cost purchase.
Yeah, which is cool. And bringing up the rear, last but by no means least, we had Monkey, who had, well, what did he have? I like the team.
Yeah, he had this is my personal, probably favorite team of the day. He was basically running Sidekick Instant War to make sidekicks, and then the Batman gets +1/+1 for every sidekick in the field. And then if there's an active villain character, that Batman gets Overcrush. And he's using that with the Hella Global, which makes a villain. So he's basically just getting a bunch of psychics out, using Batman, guaranteeing a villain with the Hella Global, and then doing some overcrushy damage.
Cool. Seems like he might have had a few bad rolls on the day. Okay, thank you very much indeed to everybody who competed. I hope you had a good time. And thank you also to TJ for streaming, and to Troy, Danley, and Stu for helping out with the prizing.
Yeah, thanks everyone for that. Anyway, we'd love to hear from you, so tell us what you think about the cards we've reviewed so far. Are the rares really the best? Let us know your thoughts by dropping us an email at hello@dmunited.eu.
That's all from us this time. Thanks very much for listening, and look out for the next episode when we'll be moving on to the super rares and basic actions.
Will Spug return? Who knows?
We will see. Bye-bye.
Are you guys getting that like weird static thing?
Yeah. Something in the air, isn't it? Nice bit of Phil Collins.
Yes.
Feel it coming in the air tonight.